Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is the Pulse of St. Louis.
Welcome to the Pulse of St. Louis. I'm Shirley Washington. You know, the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists is honoring three local legends with a prestigious award: Cleora Hughes, Odell Mitchell Jr., and Ruthie Zale. They are being recognized for their distinguished careers and for breaking barriers.
It was St. Francis County is what it was called, St. Francis County, Arkansas, and it was a sharecropper's farm, and you did the work, you got your groceries from the company store, and then when you got paid, they took most of it back. I came from the South, where there was true hatred, where you had to get off the sidewalk if a white person was coming, where my grandfather liked Prince Albert Tobacco. You had to say Mr. Prince Albert Tobacco in order to get it without somebody jumping on you. I mean, it was a very bad time. The person who helped me the most was John Buckner. His mother is Julia Davis. It's a library named for her. And he told us, encouraged us, that we could do it. See, you have to know that something is possible. You know, if you're a little kid sitting in a cotton patch with your mom, surrounded by army worms, you don't think anything's possible. Somebody has to let you know. I was an accountant, and I went to Harris Teachers College. At that time, white school and the black school were separated. I went to the white school. And then I went to Lincoln University in Jeff City, and then I went to Forest Park. And after I had graduated from there, because I had taken statistical analysis, that's where I started at the Post, in the statistical department. And then I worked my way up. I went back to school, St. Louis University. I was given a scholarship by the Ford Foundation. At the Post, when I was in the library, some of the reporters did not want me to look up material for them. They want me to put my little hands on it. You know, there was a lot of resentment because I looked at the ladies in the statistical department and all their fingers were gnarled because they wrote everything. And I said, well, I can type. And so I was given a typewriter and that caused resentment. So, you know, it was always something. My mother told me, don't let them make you leave. I had a column that said, what's cooking? And the lady before me did mostly upper class people, but I did everyone. I did handicapped people because they have to eat too. And I did children. There were children who cook, and I just tried to make it interesting to everyone. There were lots of challenges. Some people didn't believe that I worked for the Post. I remember having to do something at the Chase. Man did not believe I worked at the Post. And Joe Pollack, who was a big-time food writer, was there, and he had to vouch for me. But it was like that. Have to go to somebody's house. They do the same thing. I remember going to a church and my girlfriend and I put us out because he said it was a white church, He said it was a white church. It was a very bad time, and I was just happy to be out of it. And I would force myself to go to these places. I would go because you have to be strong.
Growing up with my parents and some of my parents teaching me, my coaches teaching me, guys that I grew up with who were older than me, wouldn't let me do certain things. You know, I grew up, in East St. Louis, Brooklyn. I grew up with a lot of guys doing drugs and stuff like that in my era. One thing that kept me going is my mom was a prayer, and I never understood it. Would walk in the house. I get through this. And see her kneeling beside the bed every night, praying. Never understood it until I started seeing one of my brothers got shot both of my, two of my older brothers passed away, but my mom's faith saved me. One of my brothers came home from Vietnam, his name was Tommy, he's still alive. He came home with a camera and I was in high school and I wanted to, I got my senior pictures taken. I said, I think I might want to be a photographer. I didn't know what kind or anything like that. My mom bought me a camera at Old Grant Store on credit. You know? I went to Iowa State. My major was journalism, you know, and I had an emphasis in visual communication. And we had a core of guys who wanted to be photojournalists. We had some teachers who taught us how to be photojournalists. There's a picture in Jacksonville. I covered the Klan, the head of the Klan. As a photojournalist, I'm basically a writer with a camera, okay? So I need to tell the story. If I'm doing it with a report, I need to make sure, try to make the pictures sort of match up with the story, that it tells the story, that what the person is seeing. Young man who used to work for the Associated Press, Cliff Schiappa, that I knew from University of Missouri, he was down for a wedding for one of his friends that was from Missouri that worked at the Times Union. And he said, hey, that's open at the Post-Dispatch. I said, really? I wanted to get back home. My family was here. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I remember coming here to interview. And it was, you know, Post-Dispatch was a little bit different. And because I said, look, we are news and news feature newspaper. We chase news. And I look back on, you know, a young guy grew up in Brooklyn, Illinois, grew up in East St. Louis, Illinois, and took a picture of the first black president of South Africa at the tip of the bottom tip of Africa, taking a picture of the Pope praying in the cathedral in St. Louis. I tell kids all the time, whatever you want to do, if you're determined, you'll get there. But just don't give up. Because the only person that really can see your dream is you.
I remember I was about 7 years old. Before TV turned to color, and it was just black and white, I'm looking at this show and a commercial comes on. For the very first time, I saw an African-American on a commercial, on TV, period. And I got up, it must have been in the middle of the day, Mom was cooking dinner, and I yell, Mommy, Mommy, there's a colored person on television! That was a huge deal. I would come in at 5 in the morning, I worked the morning shift. I would rip wire copy, again, another term that young people would not understand. We had a little teletype room, UPI, AP. Then I thought, well, I can take this a step farther. So I said, is it okay to, if there's a news conference and there's nobody available, can I go out and field produce and just, you know, go out, set up the microphone, bring it back, cut it up. I eventually get to go out and do stories with my voice and my name.
Police have arrested a second suspect.
I got to know the people in TV.
Do you know if any of the neighbors smelled gas in the area before the blast?
There are a lot of unanswered questions on that.
Being a writer, I think, prepared me for being a reporter, because between that and the on-air experience in radio, I thought, you know, I could probably do what they do. The news gods are smiling on me now. It took a while. So I end up at WCPO, my first on-air job.
We called the houses of 14 people.
A woman I'd come to know very well, the mother of an intern who came. I don't know how I got to know this intern's mom, but we ended up becoming the best of friends. We're still the best of friends today. One of her close buddies is Tom Brokaw. And she felt, I would tell her my tales of woe trying to get out of Cincinnati. And one day she had a conversation with Tom on the phone, and he told her, well, you know, they're looking for 5 reporters at the St. Louis NBC affiliate.
Apparently people have been taking our advice.
If I had to do a story that required an expert of some kind, whenever I could find an African-American, I would use them. Because so many people in our audience, even today, don't understand. Yes, there are noted African-American doctors and attorneys and government officials and on and on and on. I would say to young people, listen to your elders, read a lot. You have more opportunities to have your voice heard in a positive way.
Aren't they amazing? Well, the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists presented Cleora Hughes, Odell Mitchell Jr., and Ruthie Zell with the 2019 Living Legends Award. Congratulations to each of them. And coming up on The Pulse, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Eastern Missouri is racing against the clock to accomplish a major goal. We'll tell you about it after the break.
To hear more, listen to the podcast. Just search for The Pulse of St. Louis.
Welcome back to The Pulse of St. Louis. You know, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Eastern Missouri has launched an aggressive campaign to recruit 90 men in 90 days to be positive role models for young boys in the St. Louis area. Joining me now, Erica Sanders. She's the volunteer recruitment manager and a big sister. And David Onanian. He is president of Transform St. Louis and a big brother. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate it. Erica, let's talk about the campaign. What is it all about? 90 men in 90 days.
It kind of what the name says is what it is. We're trying to recruit 90 men to step up and be volunteers in the program, like David, and we're trying to do that in 90 days. So we started at the beginning of October, and we're running that through to the end of the year. December 31st will be our last day.
That is so awesome. Why is it so important to have role models, and particularly men?
It's so important for us to have role models for the youth of our community. One, because we don't want them to feel forgotten. We don't want them to feel like they've been overlooked, you know? It's a fun opportunity to connect with a young person and let them see what relationship looks like. I truly believe that so much of our world right now is social media based, that they're not having these real touch relationships. And Big Brothers Big Sisters gets back to that, having someone right there with you one-on-one. And what better way to do that in a young man's life than putting another positive young man in his life to talk to him about things that he's experienced, things that he can look forward to, and sometimes just changing the trajectory of where he's going to go in life.
I think you're absolutely right. So, David, tell me about your situation, because you are a big brother.
Yes.
What made you decide to get involved?
So, great question. A few years ago, before I found this organization, I was kind of unhappy and I didn't know why. Had to do some soul searching and found that I wasn't giving back. If you ever heard the saying, the secret to living is giving, I kind of experienced that firsthand. The day that I was matched with my little brother actually changed my life. And I'll never forget the words that his aunt said to me that day after being on the waiting list for 3 years. She said, "My prayers have been answered."
Wow. Wow. And how long have you been a big brother now?
For 2 years now.
And so what kinds of things do you do with your little brother?
Yeah, great question. It's really just being there for them, and they want to experience things that kids usually experience, so have fun. My little brother's 17 years old, so it gives me a chance to act like a teenager again. We go to trampoline parks, we eat pizza and ice cream, we play video games, ride bikes, go fishing. It's just a good time, and you don't have to have godlike talents or abilities to do this. You really just have to show up and be there for these kids, and that's all they really need is somebody that can put a smile on their faces.
Or a lot of money, because people think, oh, I gotta have a lot of money, I have to have a big schedule, and how much time would you say you spend with your little brother?
Yeah, so about 4 hours a month, and that's really the target that the organization looks for to really develop a bond.
Yeah, and that's not a lot of time when you think about it.
It's not.
Yeah.
It actually breaks down to, most volunteers break that down to 2 outings per month. So like with my little sister Savannah, we go out and we hang out. We plan to hang out twice a month. If we're able to do a little bit more, of course we do it, because we just like spending time together. But those 2 times a month are what we look forward to.
Oh, yeah, and I know they appreciate it so much.
Yes.
Like you said, it's something that they look forward to. It's like Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, the major holidays that are coming up, and it's like, oh my gosh, I get to hang out with my big sister.
Yes.
So tell me about the matching aspect of it, because everyone wants to make sure that their children are matched with someone who is safe,
careful,
responsible, all of those things. So what about the matching process? How does that work?
So yeah, we go through, we have a department that just looks at the interviews, because everyone goes through an interview process. The kids, the parents, and the volunteers. Everyone goes through that interview process. We do background checks, we check character references. So we do a thorough job, because child safety is super important, but so is volunteer safety for us. So we're the first people to go into the homes of the children to just make sure everything's okay and safe for our volunteers. But we have a department that just looks at those volunteer interviews and those kids' interviews and matches based on compatibility. So they ask questions like the age range you're interested in working with, your likes, your dislikes. For instance, they found out that I'm a girly girl. I like to get my nails done. And so does Savannah. So I'm like, right. We can totally do that together. Right. But she also likes arts and crafts, which I do too. She likes to explore new things. So they really took the time to identify what it is that we both like to do and see where you find out that another person likes to do those same things.
Awesome. So David, you went through that process too.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what are the fun things that you like to do, or what was it about the match process that said,
sure,
that's the one?
Sure. So they couldn't find anybody that could play golf with me, but that's okay.
But you could teach them.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, so we enjoy riding bikes and going fishing. One of our favorite outings is just going to Forest Park. And, you know, it's a free thing you can do with your child, and you don't have to have a lot of money or spend a lot of money to do this. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure your little brother learns a lot from you, and you learn a lot from him.
Oh, absolutely.
So tell me, what have you learned from him?
Oh, boy. Number one, patience. So to develop a relationship with somebody that's in a different age group, a different race than you, takes time. And building that connection. So that's been one. And then two is gratitude. So you see the environments that these kids are in, and you can't help to be grateful for everything that you have and everything that you've been blessed with. And number three, probably courage. The courage to face what's uncomfortable, because you see them doing it day in and day out. It's uncomfortable for me to be on the studio set right now on camera. But you know, if it helps one other child get a match, it's worth it, and it'd be cowardly for me not to do it. So.
And you did an awesome job. I want you to do
that.
So, Erica, give me a sense of how many children are on the waiting list right now, and not just boys,
right.
Girls too.
Right, so that number is kind of going to blow your mind. Right now, we have 750 kids on our waiting list. 51% of those are boys. So. We are definitely looking for more men right now to kind of break that down, because we have so many boys that come and so many women that want to sign up their boys to be a part of the program, but we need just as many women. We need just as many women, and women have a big part, and sometimes they naturally step up and want to do this, but we're looking for equal parts.
Yeah, and then tell me, what do you look for in a big brother and a big sister?
Okay, wow. So we look for someone that has a heart for our kids. We look for someone that wants to have fun, that wants to have a friendship. We look for someone that wants to learn and wants to be able to teach a little bit too. But overall, just someone that is really looking to enjoy a friendship with a young person.
Yeah. David, were there any surprises in your relationship? What is your little brother's name?
Traydell.
So yeah. Did you have any surprises with Traydell?
Well, at first it was a lot of silence, a lot of awkward silence. but you know, we got through that, and now we're much better friends and much closer and everything. But as far as surprises, sometimes when you see the environment that they're in, you're like, oh wow, you know, I didn't know you were going through that type of thing. But it's awesome to be there for them and pull them out of that situation and take them to go do something fun, and it really puts a smile on their faces. So.
Yeah, and Erica, that is important, because I think a lot of times we lose sight of what our children are going through. We lose sight of the stresses and the pressures that they're involved with. And it's nice to be able to have someone that you can talk to. And these big brothers and big sisters, just so folks know, they're not replacing mom and dad.
No, yeah. Not at all. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, at Big Brothers Big Sisters, one of the things that we like to keep in the forefront of people's minds is mom and dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, whoever got them enrolled in the program, they're a hero, because they've stepped up and they've said, we need help. And sometimes that takes a lot. That's huge. To put aside your pride, put aside your ego, and say, I want more for my child. I just don't have the ability to give it to them right now. So we definitely champion our parents in the program and our guardians in the program, but we also welcome that additional support.
Yeah, so are there any rules or policies regarding whether big brother or big sister can communicate with mom and dad or grandma or whoever is the guardian of the child?
No rules really, we want you to get to know them. We want that to be a comfortable relationship too. Your focus is your little brother or sister, but we want you to be able to, and I like to use myself as an example. I know Savannah's dad, I text him Happy Father's Day when Father's Day rolled around. I check just to see how things are doing. We have a conversation before Savannah and I ever have a conversation, just so I can see how things are going with him, because I want him to feel supported too.
And that's what I wanted to know. So David, did you go through that process too, where you are in touch with your little brother's parents?
Yeah, I mean, as you can imagine, a teenager can sometimes be hard to get a hold of. So, you know, reaching out to his aunt and his caretaker and making sure that I've got the right phone numbers and all that stuff. And then, you know, how's the job search going with him? It's good to have another partner at home that's kind of on the same page as you.
Right, yeah. So Erica, what made you decide to be a big sister?
Okay, I've shared this embarrassingly before, so I'm gonna go ahead and do it now. On live TV, I guess. So when I started with Big Brothers Big Sisters as an employee, that was 5 years ago. I didn't think it was necessarily the right time for me then. But years in, I started to just kind of miss that connection that I was seeing people have. And as I was going out and doing presentations, I was still missing some type of a spark. And I thought, maybe that's it. But I thought, oh, I don't have time. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I found myself at home one day, scrolling through Netflix, looking at previews and saving them for later dates, but never actually watching a movie or a show. And I did that for an hour.
Oh my goodness.
And after that hour, I said to myself, you have some time on your hands.
There you go.
Let's put it to better use.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what made me step up.
And that's what a lot of people don't think, that they have the time, to invest.
Yes.
But they really do.
I think if there's one big misnomer in this whole process, people always come up to me and say, oh, I just don't have time. Or I don't have the time. Or I have kids, I have a family, I have this. We have so many different ways you can be matched. You can be matched as a big brother, a big sister, but you can also be matched as a big couple or a big family. So you and your family can get involved too. So a
wow.
lot of times it's just about getting the information and really knowing the different options.
Yeah. So David, do you like plan your visits with your little brother, or do you guys just wing it?
Oh, you can't wing it.
No.
Can't wing it? You gotta plan.
Okay. Gotta plan, put it on the schedule, pick up time, all that stuff.
Right.
But it's what's nice is what she said, like you can bring them home to your family. Like I have young children at home, so I don't have to choose, you know, be with him or be with my children. We can all have fun together, order pizza, and have a good time.
So. Nice. And so you do that?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So how rewarding has this experience been for you?
It's been unbelievable. So it's just so cool to see, you know, him smile and know that we're doing good, and it's awesome, and want to continue to do it and help recruit more big brothers and sisters to eliminate this waiting list that we have.
Yeah, and you've been doing it for 2 years now?
Yes.
Does it seem like 2 years?
It doesn't. It's flown by.
Time does fly, doesn't it?
It sure does.
All right, we've got to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit, Erica, about what people can do to get involved, who they need to contact, whether it's online or on the phone, whatever, because we're going to meet this goal.
All right.
90 men in 90 days. Stay with us. We'll tell you how you can get involved when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Pulse of St. Louis. I know you've been dying to know how you can get involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we're going to tell you right now. So, Erica, what should viewers do if they want to get involved?
Well, I know you have been showing our website, so that's one of the places that they can go. But they can call me directly. They can call me at 314-615-1041, or you can email me at esanders@bbbsemo.org.
And say your number and your email address one more time.
I sure will. It's 314-615-1041. Or they can email me at esanders@bbbsemo.org. SEMO.org.
Perfect. So, David, what would you say to someone who may be wavering about whether they should get involved? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, I would say apply to Become a Big, because there are going to be plenty of opportunities to ask questions, find out if it's right for you. And like you guys know, there's no shortage of problems in our community right now, but there is a shortage of people willing to step up and solve those problems. And this is an awesome opportunity for folks to take. So,
well, thank you so much for stepping up.
Thank you.
And you too, thank Erica. You. And thank you guys for being here, too. And thank you for joining us for The Pulse of St. Louis. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, download The Pulse of St. Louis podcast in the iTunes or Google Play stores. And remember, for news 24/7, download the free Fox 2 and News 11 apps. I will see you next time. Thanks so much for being here.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.